I escort you out. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I had a wonderful time last night. My goodness, it was every part of it, you know, just one thing to another. And as I reflected back on some of it that I could remember, but my goodness, they stayed here with me. And then this morning, wasn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You had a good time. I did. I was blessed. Like I said, the only thing I seen wrong with it wasn't my message. I just had a wonderful time. I think tonight's going to be even better. I just think, you know, we're going to go a little farther into what He has. You know, we're believing and starting to believe seriously and reach out and trying to extend our faith to the point where we can believe in the budget for Peru, the next pastor's conference in Peru. I don't know the date. I don't even know the city for sure. But I do know, you know, I have the whole country of Peru, so with His direction, I'll find where we're at and when. But in the meantime, I won't really set a date as such until the budget comes in. And I know there's some, you know, I've had some to ask me, well, why don't you borrow the money and then believe it in later? Well, what's the difference? Why not believe it in ahead of time?
Amen.
You think your faith is going to be any stronger when you're under the gun with that Visa card? I doubt it. You know, so we're believing right now, and it's running pretty steep these days. I can remember when I went to Peru and done a crusade on the budget of $2,500. I thought, my goodness, this, you know, you remember that? Yeah, now, you know, we're running about 10 to 12,000. I'm sure one of these days I'll look back and say, you know, the same way, you know, because I look back at the 2,500, I remember thinking that was a lot, you know, to believe. Now He has me, you know, reaching farther than that. So, you know, whenever you give, you know, whether the church gives or some individual gives, you know, we have people that tithe to us. We have people that just give their offerings to us all over the United States, you know. Pretty well, when you go to a country like Peru, you know, it's all you giving out. Them not giving back much, really, at all. Occasionally, we'll run into a church that's caught the vision, knows what to do. Then, they're really doing a lot compared to what they're able to do, you know. They're really giving out of themselves a lot. But that's few and far between at this point. However, I'm believing for a change, and have been all along, that there'll come a day that they'll start financing the trips to Peru for me. Those people in Peru. Because that's the right thing. It's their land. It's their people. You know, so. But until that time, until their faith comes to that place, until we can teach enough and get in on the doctrine enough to change it, where that starts to change. Until then, they're depending on us. They're depending on you. And so tonight, we're going to receive an offering, but before you get your checkbook and your purse out and your billfold and get your $2 out, I want to talk to you just a little bit about it. You know, and we're going to receive an offering, and you know, if the Lord wills and the church wants to, you know, it can go toward Peru. See, Shelley and I, since the beginning, it's no different now than it was in the beginning. We started out going from city to city, setting up meetings. Churches didn't know, they were staying away by the groves. You know, we couldn't get into a church. So, we didn't let that stop us. You know, most evangelists, you know, if they can't get into a church, well, I can't get into a church, so I can't do anything. We didn't look at it that way. I was taught that you go ahead and you do something. So we went on ahead and we went from city to city renting a room, you know, at a conference room at a motel or hotel situation where we could hold our own services usually on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. We tried not to interfere with the churches. We wasn't out to compete anybody. I'm not trying to steal anybody's sheep, just to feed the hungry ones.
Amen.
You know. And so she was working, I was working, and we would live off of my paycheck, and I was self-employed and had a business, and we would live off of that paycheck. We would take her paycheck and set up meetings everywhere. Every dime of it went to the gospel, one way or the other. Every dime. Every 2 weeks, we would do a set of meetings somewhere, and her whole check went toward the budget. We would spend $400 for a meeting during the weekend. $30 would come in the offering. Now, you know, if you're not committed and not committed within yourself to do what God wants you to do, you're going to quit
real quick.
When you start getting $30 and you've spent $400. I had Pastor Dave Roberson, you know, he's been my pastor all along, and he would send every evangelist to me, every evangelist and teacher that wanted to go out and do something, he would send them to me. You've got to talk to him. He knows what to do because I've taught him, and he did. He taught me personally what to do. And so I would sit down with them. I could tell by the way they talked to begin with. I let them talk for a little bit. I could tell by the way they talked that, you know, they had this big idea that I'm going to go do a meeting. Doesn't matter what I spend because there's going to be thousands of dollars coming to the offer. So I would let them ramble for a little bit. Then I would begin to tell them what to do. This is how you do it. You know, go get you a place to have it. Put you some ads in the paper. Fix you out some flyers to pass out. You and your wife take a weekend, the weekend before the meetings. Go and put the flyers in every place that will let you, every nook and cranny throughout the city. And I said, you know, I said, be prepared to spend $300 to $400 depending on the city. Now, this was based on the city of Enid. I had my figures from it because I'd done so many meetings there, and it was a city at that time of about 35,000 of 35,000, 40,000, something like that. And so I told them, I said, this is what to expect. I said, but now listen, more than likely, until you get established and they start trusting you. They're not going to give you their money if they don't trust you. Until they start trusting you, your offering is going to be $20, $30. Well, right away I could see them bow up. I don't believe that at all. I said, well, I said, you go ahead. Just tell them. But they're not going to give to you unless they can trust you. Because we started out that way, but in the end, toward the end, when we were doing meetings places, thousands of dollars would come in. But we had built a trust and a rapport with those people. They knew what we were doing with their money. And God was speaking to them because all I ever prayed was this. Father, I want those that you have in line to give to this ministry to give. And we never spent $1 personally. We always used it for the gospel, whether it be to set up other meetings or supporting the, you know, the internal workings of the ministry. And so I would say, Lord, I just ask that the ones you want to give will have open ears to hear you and be obedient. That's all I've ever said. That's what I pray today. That's what I pray every day. Lord, the ones you want to give into this ministry, send them this way. Let them have open ears to hear your voice on what to give, and let them be obedient. That's all I ever ask. I quit complaining a long time ago because it doesn't do any good. Only one thing does any good, and it's your faith and trust. The Lord Jesus Christ, that He will supply every need. So, you know, when we started out, that's the way it was. So that's what we do now. And when it comes to Peru, Every dollar that we bring into the ministry either goes to operate the ministry or it goes toward the country of Peru. So right now we're believing for around a $10,000 to $12,000 budget. And I don't even have the budget written out, so I don't have any idea for sure what it'll be, but I have a pretty good idea. I'll be pretty close. I'll be within $100. So we're believing right now $10,000 to $12,000 to do a pastor's conference in the country of Peru, and I'm giving you an opportunity tonight just to seek God and ask Him what He would want you to do. And then you as a church can decide what to do. The pastors can decide what to do. That's up to them. I'm not here for money. I don't come saying you have to pay my expenses for this or for that. Once again, Shelley and I are still in this place where we support ourselves. The ministry doesn't support us. We have some business going on the side. She has a part-time job. So through all of it, I'm able to get in the prayer time and the seeking time. She's able to get in some. We let God provide for us to support through these things, through these avenues. But we don't use the ministry money. That comes in is for the working of the ministry and for the country of Peru. So what I want you to do tonight, the reason I said don't open up your purse or don't open up your checkbook or pocketbook, I want you to close your eyes tonight like we did last night. There's only two things you got to do. You got to ask God, what do you want me to do? Seek out His voice and then be obedient. You say, well, what if I don't hear Him? Well, then you need to purpose in your heart. This is scriptural. You need to purpose in your heart what you want to give if you can't hear His voice. I purpose this day, Lord, that I'm going to give for Your work this amount. But it's better. It's better if you go ahead and use this opportunity and time to try to seek out His voice and see what He says and then be obedient. Obedience is the key. That's the key. Well, what about 10% to the storehouse? The whole body of Christ that's doing the work of the ministry is the storehouse. However, you've been given the Holy Spirit to discern what your part is, what you're supposed to do, see, or where you're supposed to do it at. Once again, like I said, that's all I pray. Lord, the ones that You give us to give into this ministry, let them come forth and be obedient. That's all I ever pray. That's it. Hey, if the money doesn't come in, I don't do it. It's real simple. I don't take no care of it. It doesn't bother me. I don't lose sleep at night over it. It's whatever He brings forth in my path. It was the same way when I was in business in Tulsa. People would try to cheat me out of money, out of business. I would say, Lord, whatever is mine will be. I just want, Lord, what is supposed to be mine. That's all I want. I don't want the rest. It's what is supposed to be mine. You'd be surprised how many miracles you'll see. All of a sudden, situations that you thought, yeah, they're going to steal from you. All of a sudden, people would come to you asking forgiveness. Apologize. True story. More than once, I've had people to come to me and say, I tried to do this. I knew it was Yours. I tried to do this. I apologize. Please forgive me. It was not mine. Hallelujah. So take a moment. Close your eyes. And just ask the Lord under your breath, right there, you and Him. Just ask Him. So, Lord, what do You want me to do tonight? Hallelujah. You know, I have a wonderful time in the Word when I come here. And really, there, you know, I can look over the Word of God or I can sit and pray, and there's so many things I haven't told you. So many things. think, well, how can that be? Because, you know, I feel like I get a mouthful every time you're up here. But there's so many things I haven't told you. But I enjoy getting in the Word of God, giving out what God tells me to give out. But I enjoy the fellowship today. Also, we had some fellowship today together. I just really loved it. You know, last night, you know. So it's a blessing for Shelley and I to come out here and to be with you. Just a blessing in every way, spiritually and also emotionally. You know, we're all creatures that have a soul, you know, and that soul wants to socialize. You know, so. So there's always time for that. Hallelujah. But we have a wonderful time. I'm kind of in between places here, and I'm trying to get myself going the right direction. I think I better get the words what I think I better do. So anyhow, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's back up here just a little bit. And Paul here was praying for the saints in Ephesus. And he's saying, this is what I'm praying for you. And today we would pray this for ourselves, for each other, and for ourselves. And this is what he prayed. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And we talked about that last night. We can't go very far into the kingdom of God and do what He wants us to do without the spirit of wisdom. You know, you need to be asking God, or you need to be thanking Him every day that you have His wisdom on every situation. Wisdom in your finances, wisdom in your family, wisdom on your job, every situation, you need to be asking for wisdom. Now listen, he didn't mean to have a bunch of ignorant people. See, he wants you to have wisdom that you can sit down. If he gives you a business idea, he wants you to have sense enough about it to sit down, take a pencil and paper, or a computer, and work out and find out if this is going to be a profitable deal. It's not good enough to say, well, it doesn't work out on paper, but yet I feel that I'm supposed to do this business. Well, you're probably going to fail. If not, even if you don't fail, you're going to have a long, hard road. I've been in business ever since I was 19, and I'm 53. I've been in business in one form or the other, mostly to do with real estate and oil and gas, but mostly real estate deals. And you always, if you're smart and if you're going to be successful, you always sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and put the pencil to it. If you raise cattle, you put the pencil to it. If you're a farmer, you put the pencil to it. If you don't, you don't stay in business very long. You know? Well, it's the same way in every area. So if God gives you an idea for a business, He's going to expect you to do the things in the natural necessary. Just because God gave it to you doesn't mean you don't do the things in the natural necessary to make that business work. He'll guide you along the way as long as you're seeking out His wisdom. Well, it's the same with your kids, with your family. You seek out the wisdom of God on what to do in situations. And He gave you the Word of God that you have a roadmap and something to look at and to follow and to be in line with and a way to do it. Well, I need to hear His voice. Yeah, you do. But you already got His voice. You already got His will right here in the Word of God. So why not start with that? Why not start with that? There's a basis. So he says, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding be enlightened before every service. If you were with me, my wife's with me, and others sometime are with me, if you were with me, you would hear me say all the time, Father, I thank you that my eyes are open to see the things that you want me to see. I thank you, Father God, that my eyes are open wide, that I can see those things that you want me to see. The things of the Spirit be open to me. I thank you, Father God, that my eyes are enlightened to see those things. I thank you, Father God, that my ears are open to hear your voice, and only your voice will I hear, and I will hear it clearly. I've done that for years. It sure makes things a lot easier. So Paul is praying this prayer right here. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? He wants you to know what your inheritance is. He wants your inheritance to be revealed unto you and that you be able to recognize it. He wants you to know what is the hope of his calling in each individual's life. For this church is a corporate body. For each individual, he wants you to know what is the hope of his calling. He doesn't want you to go through life going here, going there, in all different directions and not knowing what you're supposed to be doing. If you're called to finance the work of the gospel, he wants you to know that you can follow it. If you're called to be behind the pulpit, and not everybody is, but if you are, he wants you to know the hope of that calling that you may be able to show yourself approved, that you can be behind there. Well, God forgives my mistakes. Yes, he does. He forgives your mistakes quicker than we do. He forgives your mistakes, but let me tell you something. You still have to build your trust with him. Too much is given, much is required. So he expects you to build that trust with him. And if you fall back down the ladder three rungs, he expects you to build that trust back. You say, well, I believe that I'm forgiven and that I can go right back where I was. Yes, you are forgiven, but you're still called to build that trust back. And so I tell people, you do things to me, I'll forgive you. But now don't expect me to trust you right away. But I do forgive you. You are forgiven. I forgive you for that. But listen, it's what you do that builds the trust back. What did she say this morning in that Amplified Version about the integrity? Yes, the character. That's up to you. You build that back with people. You build it back with God that he may exalt you more the days to come. But you build that trust back. But yes, it is. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Hallelujah, Jesus. So he wants you to know what the hope of his calling is for your life, for my life, for this church's life. What is the hope of his calling for this church? And then what is the hope of his calling for each individual? And along the way, you're going to get a lot of opportunities to be going all different directions. I'll show you why later on in the Word of God. Because, see, God has a plan for your life. But let me tell you something. That stinking devil has a plan for your life, too. And it ain't very good. Well, I don't know if I believe that there is a devil. Just as sure as there's God, there's a devil. And he wants to destroy your life and everything that you're called to do. So he wants you to know what the hope of his calling is. And so Paul was praying this for the church at Ephesus. And this prayer is for us now. We can pray this for ourselves. We can pray it for each other. We can pray it for this church. Father, I thank you that this church, Eternal Harvest, the eyes of their understanding are opened and enlightened. I thank you, Father God, that they know what the hope of your calling is in every area. I thank you that they know your calling. Every area, every part of it. I thank you that this church knows what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance is in the saints. Hallelujah. And what the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. He wants this church to be a church that walks in the power of God. He wants every church to be that way. But you usually get two choices, programs or power. Those are the two choices. And you usually won't get both of those together. In fact, I'm just going to say it. You go after programs, you will not have the power because you will depend on the programs instead of depending on the power of God. If you go after the power of God, it won't line up a lot of times with the programs. That's the problem. But He wants this church, He wants each individual to be walking in the power of God, to have that in their life. Doesn't matter if you're a businessman. Doesn't matter if you're called to finance the gospel. He wants you to be walking in the power because you're still a witness to the world. If you're financing the gospel and you're called to do that, and I use that because I see so many people that have that call upon their life that are not walking in it. But if you are, you're still an example to the world. They're still looking at you. You're getting the opportunity. Would you come? I want to lead you to the Lord. I want to let you know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get that opportunity. Regardless of what you're called. You're still a believer. See, you're still a believer. And you thought we covered all of these verses last night. We haven't even got to the trees. I'm just doing the opening. I got to throw those trees in there every now and then because Pastor Earl's been waiting for them and waiting for them. I sure hope he's not disappointed. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, He has this for you to have, for you to pray for your life and to pray for others, and there's reasons why. Well, let's go on to Ephesians 4. Let's take a look at that again. See, He wants you to have your eyes open. He wants you to understand what the will of the Lord is. He wants you to know truth. He wants your eyes to be enlightened to the truth in the gospel. To the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to have that. And you do. You have the teacher, the Holy Spirit, that can show you truth and can also show you untruth. And the Holy Spirit will always be in line with the Word of God. Don't ever believe it's any different than that. He will always be in line with the Word of God. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you, look it up in the Word of God because it will be there if the Holy Spirit spoke it. If he didn't speak it and there was something else, it won't be in there. You've got to always go back to the Word of God. That's your starting point. That's where you spend your time, is in prayer and in the Word of God. And if you don't, let me put it this way. If you do, you will make your way prosperous. So that means if you don't, you won't make your way prosperous. You'll spin your wheels. You'll go around in circles. You'll go around the mountain and go around the mountain and go around the mountain. Spend your entire life going around the mountain, going in circles. You understand that phrase, going around the mountain? We've talked about that, haven't we? looking at that bush and seeing the same bush as you've seen the last time this year at this time? Because you haven't gone any farther. Now that doesn't apply to pastors, because see, pastors, you know, they're going to see this bush, and this bush is going to crop up in somebody else's life, because the devil always makes sure. But you still can't go around circles. I didn't mean to give you an excuse. So in Ephesians 4, we'll go ahead and start with verse 11, because I like to read this passage, even though the point is farther down. In verse 11, he said, "He himself gave to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." He wants you to be walking in maturity. He wants mature sheep. He doesn't want sheep that stay babies their entire life. That is not His will. His will is that you be a mature person. That we should no longer be children. Well, that's just what I got through saying. That we should no longer be children, because children are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Everybody reads those first few verses, 11 through 12, maybe 13. After that, they drop off and don't read the rest of it. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now, this is people that are not children. These are mature. Do you want to know why he's so spiritual? Not necessarily. Because he's not spiritual if he's not mature. Well, how are you going to know if he's mature? Well, it tells you right here. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together, that doesn't cause any contentions, doesn't cause any strife and divisions, doesn't use rebellion and other things to disrupt things in the church, knitted together by what every joint supplies, ready to meet a need, any chance that he gets. See, I look for an opportunity. Just like right now, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me tonight and said, "I want you to help him. I want you to be of service to him." And I'm looking for every opportunity for a chance to be obedient to God. Now that was for real, what I just said to you. You know, I'll talk to you about it later. You see me tonight before you leave. I'm looking for an opportunity to fit into His calling and to be a part in the body of Christ. We're talking about maturity. We're talking about being mature in the body of Christ and not being like children, which children are tossed to and fro. They're over here, they're over there. They can't decide, do they want to be a part of seed faith, or do they want to be a part of hearing the voice of God and being obedient? They can't decide, which way am I going to go? Am I going to tithe, or am I going to hear God's voice? Am I going to tithe, and if I don't, be cursed, or am I going to hear God's voice and enjoy the grace of God? What am I going to do? They can't decide. It's called double-mindedness. And I'm just using this as an example. But that's being tossed to and fro by every whim of doctrine. Turn on the TV, turn on the TBN, here's some different doctrines. 9 to 10, one doctrine. 10 to 11, the other doctrine. 11 to 12, the next doctrine. That's the way it is. I'm just saying it the way it is. And boy, is the anointing here tonight. I haven't felt Him leave yet. I don't feel no grieving of the Holy Spirit at this point, so I'm just going to keep going. From whom the whole body joined and knit together, whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. Hey, it causes this body to grow. When you get in there and you do your part and you submit yourself to the leadership of the church and let them make the decisions, if there's going to be a wrong decision, it's their part to make the wrong decision. It's their job. If they're going to make a wrong decision, let them do it. You've got to lift up their hands in prayer and hold them up and support them in the Spirit. If they make a wrong move or mistake that they have to redo, that's between them and God. That's not between you and them. Never was. God appointed them. You didn't. If you want that, go to some doctor here in town. There's about 100 of them. I'm sure. I haven't counted them, but I'm sure there is in every town where the board controls everything. The deacons tell you what to do. Tell the pastor what to do. You can find one. You don't have to look very far. But God appointed them. Your job is to do what you can to assist them to make sure that this church grows into maturity.
Hallelujah.
Back the car up. We may have to make a getaway.
Hallelujah.
Just mail the offering, 33907 South Indian Road, Park Hill, Oklahoma, 74451. You having a good time? I sure am. Maybe at your expense. I'm not Well, there's a reason that he's saying these things. If we look over in Jude, we'll find some reasons why he's saying these things and what you can do about it. So turn with me to the book of Jude. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. It's back there where you haven't read. There at the very back, toward the back, just before that other book that you haven't read called Revelation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's see. I could take the whole book, but for time's sake, I won't. I'd really like to. But, okay, let's pick it up in verse 10. Hallelujah, Jesus. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, and these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now, what was the way of Cain? It was disobedience. It was works. They went in the way of Cain, which was works. Abel was obedient. He gave the first fruits. He didn't go in the way of works, but Cain did. He went in the way of works. So he's talking about here, when you break this down, he's talking about people that went in the way of works. Now this will all come together. Just stick with me. That went in the way of works. Have run greedily in the era of Balaam for profit. Balaam, he kept wanting to be bought out. He kept being offered something and going to God time after time. They would offer him so much and he would go to God. He was trying to sell out. Now he ended up not selling out. Instead he beat his donkey. Got in trouble for that. But he kept wanting to be bought out. He kept trying to sell out. They would offer him these things. He would go to God and say, "Can I get by with this? They're offering me all of this. Can I get by with this? Can I be disobedient? Can I do what I know not to do? God, can I do it just this one time? Just once. It ain't going to hurt nobody. Look at what they're offering me. They're offering me the whole world." Is it okay, God? He went to him time after time. All right, let's take it a little farther. He's describing some people here. He's describing some people. You've seen them. You've been around them. Most of you have been in their churches. And perished in the rebellion of Korah? Is that correct, David? In the rebellion of Korah. Well, that speaks for itself. They're a rebellious person. He's talking about a rebellious people. A rebellious, in this case, group of people. These are... Now listen. Listen here. Listen to this. I mean, we've been to Jude 19 and 20 a lot. But now listen. This is before you get to Jude 19 and 20. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are like clouds without water, carried by the winds, carried about by the winds. They come, they talk good, they tell you of a good program. They're a mighty good-looking cloud in the sky on a hot day, and there ain't no rain in the cloud. It comes over and there ain't no water in the clouds, but they look good, they sound good, but there is no power. There is no power to change. The power of changing is not there. See, they're like clouds without water. All right, let's take it a little bit farther because he's not done yet. I'm sure you've seen ministries that talked a good talk, but they didn't have any power to change people's lives. You know, we have a saying at the prayer center, as far as I know we still have it, we don't like powerless evangelists. An evangelist is supposed to be walking in the power. If he says he's an evangelist, he needs to be walking in the power, and if he don't, he's just a wannabe. He ain't there yet. He might be called, but he ain't there yet. That's just like Billy Graham's really not an evangelist. He's an exhorter to those to Christ. He's called to exhort people to Christ. He's not an evangelist because he doesn't walk in the miracle working power of God. See, when you're walking and, oh boy, that really went over. Man, I got some looks on that one. Listen, when you're walking in a certain calling in the fivefold, you're going to have gifts that back up that calling. That's what qualifies you. You have to be qualified to walk in that calling. Well, we don't like dry teachers either. We like teachers with the anointing to teach. And we don't like pastors that make excuses either. Well, I'm a pastor, so I don't have to have the anointing and power on my life. You as a pastor have to have the anointing and power in your life about as much or more than anyone else, because you're the one that's with the sheep every day.
That's right.
Doesn't leave us with any excuse, does it? Just no room, no wiggle room. Hey, I preach to myself as much as anybody else.
Amen.
You know, I know where I'm supposed to be and I know where I ain't. Dry teachers? Nah. Powerless evangelists? Nah. Profitless prophets? Nah. think about that one a little bit. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind. They look good, you know, they just don't have anything to them, no substance. Late autumn trees without fruit, once again, trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Just old dead trees. Planted back, going full circle, planted back, still not producing any fruit. No fruit to show. Just get on the TV. If we can't stay on, if you don't give us your $100, we're not going to be able to stay on the air. Well, you ain't supposed to stay on the air. If you can't believe it in, you need to be pulled up by the roots and thrown in the burn pile. Get rid of it. We don't need that. I don't listen to TVN. I used to. I'm just going by what I used to see, but I haven't listened to TVN in probably 10 or 15 years. I know that you can hear anything on there, and others give me reports of stuff. Apparently they listen to it quite a bit. I know this will go on the internet. I understand that. Pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of saints to execute the judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." Now, these are grumblers. These are grumblers. You got your highlighter out? These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, meaning they're walking according to their own plan and what they desire, not what the leadership desires, not what God has put them in front of desires, or what God desires, but what they desire. Complainers walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own godly lust. You need to get in the prayer closet, get rid of that lust, get rid of that lust for your own plan, and seek out the plan of God. Find out what God desires. Find out what you're supposed to be doing right now, and get in that place and do it. And shut up and sit down and pray. Don't be stupid. I'm sorry, ladies, you'd have to listen to last night's message to catch that part. Just go to the website, find where it says don't be stupid. That'll be last night's message. It's in Proverbs, by the way. I can use that word, I was told. Amen? He said, "But you, beloved, remembering the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own godly lust. These are sensual," meaning sense-ruled, ruled by their senses. "These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit." Personally, I don't think they were born again. It says not having the Spirit. So, I think it was the Holy Spirit. Well, whatever. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. See, you thought that we just, you know, had you to pray in other tongues just because it was the thing to do. Somebody else did it. Well, you might have started out because somebody else did it, but it's time that you found out and accepted the reasons why you pray in other tongues. It's to bring you into a place that you're no longer sense-ruled and that you're sensitive to right and wrong. And what you should be listening to and what you should not be listening to. And that you're following the Holy Spirit and the things of God and what God wants instead of following every whim of doctrine that comes down the road your way. You start spending a lot of time in the prayer closet praying in other tongues, He's going to start putting a stop to some things. He's going to start checking you and saying, no, that's not right. And you're going to have to back up and say, I thought this was right, but I was wrong. I'm going to go a different direction. Well, you want to follow God, don't you? So you have to make corrections in order to follow God. Narrow is the path to righteousness. Narrow is the path. Wide is the path to destruction. To get off in the wrong area and get destroyed, wide is that path. Anybody can follow that path. Narrow is the path to righteousness. But you got to find that path. You can't continue the rest of your life following every whim of doctrine that comes down the road. It's time to start finding truth in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God and seek out God and find out truth, what's right and what's wrong. Don't open up your mouth until you know. Could say some other things, but I'm going to stop right there and leave it at that. But there's plenty more to say. But you can't go about your entire life going in circles, wondering, am I following the plan of God? Am I doing the right thing? You've got to stop at some point, glue your britches to a chair, shut up and begin to pray. And the only time your mouth opens is when you say, Shandarara si, Lord, I can see. Irondarabasokurarara si. Or you open your mouth to say, I love you, Jesus. I worship you and praise you. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You know, there's a difference between praying and worship. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship you and praise you and thank you. You're not asking Him for anything whenever you worship Him. You're just loving on Him because you love Him. He's my Savior. I love you, Jesus, because you saved me. I thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I thank you for that day that I was born again. I worship you and thank you for the day that I was born again in June, or in April of 1985. I thank you for that day. I thank you for that day in June of 1985 that you filled me with your precious Holy Spirit, and I spoke with other tongues. I thank you for that opportunity. Hallelujah. That's worship. Oh, I worship. I glorify you. I glorify you. I glorify you. I glorify you. I worship you and thank you. Praise you. I glorify you. I praise you and thank you, Father. I give you glory and honor and praise. I thank you, Father. I know a little bit about what to do. I got granddaughters. You want to know about them? Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you. Praise you and thank you. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Ora sikiri de bola saka. Ibrondolo socorro de siki. Ila sakaro de siki. Ibrondolo socorro de siki. Ila sakaro de siki. Ila sakaro de siki. Ila socorro de la sikiri. Ila socorro de siki. Ila sakaronda de de sikiri. Ila sikironda de de sikiri. Ola sakaranda la la sikiri. Oranda la la sikiri. Oranda la sakaranda. Yes. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. But it's time for me to head over this direction. I'm smart. My eyes have been enlightened. See, I ain't got time. You don't have time.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Otherwise, you're just going to follow this doctor, that doctor. Now, what I mean that, like I said last night, you know, you can't say, well, you know, I'm not talking about saying, well, I'm of Dave Roberson, I'm of Gary Carpenter, I'm of Charlie Rogers. That's not what that means. See, we're of the same doctrine. We follow the same doctrine. We're talking about people that don't follow the same doctrine, they have their own doctrine. And you can't just follow every doctrine that comes along. You've got to make up your mind and make a decision at some point. You've got to find out the truth in the Word of God. And what are you going to swallow, hook, line, and sinker, and what you're not? See, I know this message that I teach and preach, it brings results. It brings changes in lives. I know it does. So I'm going to follow it. I'm going to stick with it. Doesn't matter whether I'm at the prayer center in Tulsa, Oklahoma or not. I'm going to follow this message because I know the results that it produces. So I'm going to stay with it. You can't talk me out of it. Because I already know. I've already been there. I didn't just start yesterday. I started 20-some years ago. So I'm already settled in. Not that God won't make adjustments in me along the way and say, listen, you've not quite got this right here. I want you to adjust this. Not that He won't do that. He will. But basically, this message, this doctrine, I'm going to follow it until the day that Jesus comes and takes me to heaven. I'm going to walk that doctrine. Because I know that it produces change in people's lives. And I know that it isn't like a cloud that doesn't produce water. I know it's not like an old dead religious tree. It has life. See, I know that it produces fruit. See, I know that. So I'm going to stick with it. And when you meet me next year, or whenever the time is, next month, whatever, whenever you see me the next time, I'm going to be following the same doctrinal teaching. I'm going to be walking. See, this is not about a man. This is about a message.
Right.
This is about truth in the Word of God. It's not about a person, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not about a man in the natural. You get what I'm talking about? It's not following a man.
Right.
It's following a teaching.
Right.
It's following a message. I brought to you 2 years ago in June a message. A message to this church. A way for you to walk in truth and to walk in light and change your life. That's what I brought. I didn't come expecting you to follow me. He asked me to be pastor over him. I accepted that responsibility. But I didn't come expecting you to follow me. I came preaching and teaching a message that would change your life. And that's what I'm still doing today. And along the way, we're going to be making adjustments along the way. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Praise and thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory.